Are you glad you came so far? Man, there's just nothing quite like it to be with the people of God. Amen, Pastor Liam. He's always sharing that, and he's right. I just tell you, when I get to see faces and I get to see smiles, and by the way, if you feel comfortable during the sermon, you can remove your mask, and we'll put them back on when we stand up and sing a little bit later. There's a lot to praise God for this week. And as Carl just mentioned, you know, this week I've had the opportunity to watch and pay attention to what people are doing. And there is deep inside, I believe, because God created us, there's deep inside every individual this desire to do good. One night when we got home, we still hadn't had water, and we'd gotten back into our home. We had electricity, so it was warm, but our neighbors came across, and evidently I just found out he's in distribution, and everyone in our little small subdivision, he and his wife gave two cases of water to. You know, and I thought about how great that is, but how even greater could it have been if that case of water would have been given in Jesus' name? Amen. And I'm glad that you joined us here today. We're going to wrap up our series. If you have your Bibles or your Bible apps, I ask you to open them now to Matthew chapter 22. We're going to be looking at verses 37 through 40 as we wrap up this series called Great Commandments or Greatest Commandments. Once you found your place there, I am going to ask you to stand back one more time, and I just in honor of the reading of God's Word. I'll read aloud. You can remain silent, but just once you get there, stand up. I'll know that you found it, or it'll be on the screen behind us. Now, this is what if you're joining us for the first time online or on campus, this is what we've been delving into these last 6 or 7 weeks. We've been talking about this thing called the Shema, the greatest commandments. And Jesus was asked what those were. And so he said to them, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And you might want to underline this morning the word mind, because that's what we're going to be talking about. And then we're going to be focusing on the last part that says this. This is the greatest and most important command, this love the Lord your God. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets depend on these two commands. May God give his understanding and strength and desire in our heart to follow his word. You may be seated. Well, I just want to say I'm really glad. I wasn't sure what today would look like after Snowmageddon and no electricity geddon, however you want to put that, and no water. It's just all the metaphors have come this week to me. You think about the living water. I don't have to thirst anymore spiritually. Amen. We serve the one who declares he's the bread of life and he's the living water. And he satisfies us. And I believe this morning that God has a personal message for each and every one of us this morning if we'll just listen. The fact that you're here shows me something. It shows me that you wanted to be here, you made the decision to be here, and that you want, hopefully, to hear from God. A lot of times we might come to church hoping our wife will hear from God, or our husband will hear from God, or our children will hear from God, our neighbors, our parents. But how different will it be this morning if you just take just a moment and say, God, speak to me. Speak right to me where I'm at. And I believe God wants to do that. You know, our whole theme this year is really experiencing the greatness of God. What does it look like to experience the greatness of God? And we began this series talking about this Old Testament command that Moses gave to the people of God as they were getting ready to enter the promised land, the second generation. The others, we know what happened to them wandering around. And this Shema is a command, and we're taking an in-depth and have been taking an in-depth look word by word on the important words of this. And these, again, it means hear. The word Shema means hear. It means listen. We talked about the difference between we hear but we don't listen. This word Shema means hear and listen and obey. And it is considered today, as it has been for centuries, thousands of years, the most important prayer that's prayed every morning and prayed every night in the life of the children of Israel, the Jews. The Shema contains three segments that you need to know about. The first is found in the Lord, our God, the Lord is one. And that is the declaration. This morning, as we wrap this series off, let me just say this. If you hear nothing else I say this morning, the most important decision you will ever make in your life is to put God first in your life. If you do not put God first in your life, you will never experience the greatness of God that He intended you to experience. God must be first and not second. He has to be not just first, He has to be everything. We see the Lord our God, the Lord is one. In verse 5 of the Shema, you see that we find this second segment, and it's the details of how are we to put God first in our lives. And we've broken that down. It tells us how, that we are to love the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our soul. And then today we're going to be talking about with all of our mind, our strength. And finally, we see in the last verse, verse 6 in Deuteronomy chapter 6, that a decision is required. He says, these words that I'm giving you today are to be in your heart. Let me say this. Every time that God speaks through His Word or speaks through His Holy Spirit, there is a decision that has to be made by you personally. No one else can make it for you. Then secondly, added to the Shema, when Jesus was asked what to do, how can I get into heaven? What's the most important commands? Jesus also added a second portion and said that's so important. Obviously, loving the Lord your God is the most important command, the decision you have to make. The second is like it and is important, and that is to love your neighbor as yourself. This is what we base our church on. This is our church mission. If you think about it, it's to love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love our neighbors. And we just worded it this way. We're making disciples of Jesus Christ who love God, love people, and impact the world, which includes our neighbors. If you turn back again to Matthew 27 or 22, we're going to look at verses 37 through 38. Your decision is required. When God speaks, your decision and my decision is required. He said to him, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And why do you have to make a decision? Because this is the greatest and most important command. There's nothing higher than this command of putting Jesus first. The decision of making God the Lord of your life, allowing Him to come in after you've confessed your sins and asking God to forgive you of those sins and come in and take residence within your whole body, including all that we've talked about these last few weeks. That's the decision, the ultimate decision that all other decisions and actions are based on. The word mind, in different versions, it says, and with all your mind, and the version I'm using is really closest to the original text, but it also says strength, because we think immediately of the mind, which is, I would tell you that with our mind, also when we make the decision, it includes the strength to fulfill the decision that we've made. The word mind is the word mayad, and in some versions, like I said, it means the word strength. It literally means this. Much or very much are to increase something even more to its fullest extent. Now let me follow me along with me for just a second. So many people come to that emotional point and spiritual point in their life where they realize that they are a sinner. They realize that they have missed the mark. And so they cry out in desperation saying, God, forgive me, I'm a sinner. I want to say yes to you. And somehow something happens. Satan gets in there and mixes it up, and we think that is the end all. Saying yes to Jesus is the beginning of the journey with God. It is not the end. It is the beginning, and this word, we're loving God with all of our mind, means that we do it to its full extent. With everything that we have, we decide we're all in. You can't be all in and partially out, can you? You're either all in or you're not in. And that's, we don't hear that from the pulpits anymore. We hear preachers that preach that if you just live a good life, you'll be fine. And your best life is now. That's heresy. Our best life will, when we see Jesus face to face and we walk and talk with him for eternity, that are going to be the best days of our lives, and we'll carry that on through eternity. But you have to first, you'll never experience that if you never say yes to Jesus. And we want to, when you say yes, don't you want all that God has to offer? It's kind of like for us, we say yes and we buy a car and we get in. Have you ever done this? And years later you found out there was a feature on that car that you didn't know existed and now you can't live without it. I didn't know that's what that button did. And so many Christians live year after year after year and they don't experience the fullness of God because they don't move forward in their faith. They don't go on the journey. They think yes is just the end all and it's just the beginning. You see, the thought behind this word mind and meaning behind it is not strength or might in the physical sense, but rather the entirety of what you do. Moses was trying to tell the people of Israel, you got to go all in. We live in a world where Christianity is just in a compartment. It's just part of what we do. It's expected of us. We'll give Sunday morning, but the rest of the week we don't give it to God. And this word that Moses is trying to tell these Israelites who had experienced this wandering around, and they were about to enter into this the chosen land, the land that had been promised them for centuries. They were about to enter in, and he was trying to tell them, you can't go all in unless you know God first. But it's going to take you being all in to experience and get through the worst. When you think about it, their very first act of moving in, they had to enter battle. Friends, that's my experience with saying yes to Jesus Christ. It's the hardest thing I've ever done. When I said yes to Jesus Christ, I had this thought, because I've been raised that way, that, man, everything was going to be great. We used a word, it's not great grammar, but we called it hunky-dory. Everything was going to be hunky-dory. I don't even know what that means. Except that everything's going to be all right and everything's a bed of roses. Can I just tell you, the moment that I said yes to Jesus was that's when the battle began. That's when the battles began and began to live the life of Christ. And if you're not all in, you're going to struggle through that. And every time we hear from the Word of God or the prompting of the Holy Spirit, a decision has to be made. Is he going to have all your heart, your soul, and your mind, and are you going to decide to follow Jesus? It is either no or yes. It's a simple question. There are only two answers. Yes, I'm all in, or no, I'm not. See, saying wait, which is a typical thing Satan gets us to do, is saying no to God. When God says you to do something or he calls you into his kingdom and you say, I'll think about it, that's saying no to God. This is only a two-answer question, yes or no. Joshua was telling the people in Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, he's talking to the people, trying to challenge them, the very thing, same thing that Moses was. He says, but if it doesn't please you to worship Yahweh, does that surprise you that a lot of people don't want to worship Yahweh? He said, you choose for yourselves today the one you will worship. See, if you worship something, it is higher than yourself. If you worship something, if it's God, you are intentionally deciding with every part of who you are to make God ahead of yourself. But too often we one-cheek it with God. You know, I've shared this before. You know, it's like sitting on a stool and we kind of one-cheek it with God. We want to be in control until we are not in control anymore, and then we allow him back on the throne. You can't one-cheek it with God and him being the Lord our God. The Lord our God is one. He said, the God of your fathers worship beyond the Euphrates River are the gods. You can choose those. Are the gods of the Amorites and whose land you are living. You can worship those. But Joshua said this, as for me and my house and my family, we will worship Yahweh. There was a decision that had to be made. This is the most important decision, and I love the way this has come together at the end, because decision is all about making a choice and following through with it with everything that you are. You remember the story in Matthew chapter 19, verses, I think it's 16 through 22, young ruler, had it all. Man, he had it going on. He was all that and then some. I mean, he had riches, he had properties, he had the looks, he had all of it, the houses. And he came to Jesus because there was something still missing inside of him. And he knew it was something, and he said, he knew exactly what it was. He said, what must I do to inherit the kingdom of God? In other words, what do I need to do to be saved? You remember the answer? Jesus said, sell all that you have. He told him all these things. He says, I've done all that, been there, done that. He said, then sell all your riches and give to the poor and then follow me. And some of the most tragic words in all of Scripture, it says that young man went away grieved, are very, very sorrowful. The cost of following Jesus Christ requires first and foremost a decision to say yes to Jesus. And then it requires daily a decision to follow Jesus no matter what. This is what Moses wanted the people of Israel to understand. It's what God wants us to understand. In Matthew 4:19, you know, he talks about follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. In Luke chapter 9, verse 23 says, if you want to follow me, there's three things you have to do. First one is deny yourself. You have to get off the throne. Deny yourself. Then take up your cross daily. Understand this, that following Jesus is taking up a life of hardship, a life of sorrow at times and of suffering, because the Bible tells us that we will enter into Christ's sufferings. But that suffering is preparing us for the glory that awaits ahead of us. We're good Christians as long as there's no high demand on our lives. And Joshua said, no, we're going to do that. And this young man went away sad. So many people week in and week out hear the Word of God preached. They sense the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And they walk out the doors. They go back into the world. And they go deeper and deeper and deeper into this thing I call spiritual emptiness. You have to make a decision. A decision is required. Will you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind? You have to make that decision. And the second, he says, is like unto it. And whatever you decide will be revealed. Your decision will be revealed. It'll be revealed through your actions. You've all heard that actions speak louder than words. But in the gospel, our actions must include words, and our words must include actions. Look what he says. The second is like it. Love your neighbors as yourself. All the law and the prophets depend on these two commands. In one of the other gospels, it talks about this person trying to find out what he must do and asking what it is. You know, who's my neighbor? We see this here. Who's my neighbor? Well, the word neighbor comes from the Old Testament word rea, R-E-Y-A, and it's pronounced rea. And it means this, an associate, more or less close, a brother, companion, fellow, friend, another. Any person that we encounter that has a need is our neighbor. And Scripture talks about how when we give a cup of water in His name, and oftentimes we'll do good deeds. That's just socialism, if you will, or social justice and just being good. But if you don't add Jesus Christ, why do we give a cup of water in Jesus' name? Why do we allow people in our houses to get warm and use our restrooms and our showers? If we fail to mention the reason that we do this is because Jesus has given everything to us. Loving God includes actions. It's not mere words. God bless you. I hope you get warm. I hope you got water. But being a Christian and following with all that we have is saying, I understand you don't have water. Here's a case of water. I understand you're cold. Why don't you come to my house? Why don't you let us make you a meal? See, whatever you decide will be revealed in your actions. How many of you have seen the movie The Lone Survivor with, I think it's Mark Wahlberg? Where he played the character of a guy by the name of Marcus Littrell, who was stationed, it was a U.S. soldier, Special Forces, was stationed in the Kumar province. And if you remember that story, he was the lone survivor because everybody else on his team was killed. And he entered, he fled, and he was wounded and injured, all of that, and he got to this city in this region of Kumar, and they took him in. And the reason that they took him in, because in those times and still today in the Middle East, they practiced this thing, Paul, called pashtunali. Pashtunali. In other words, that if you have a need and I can meet it, you are my neighbor and we're going to take care of you and you are under my protection. You are under my support. You got what the old word we use here, mikasa, zukasa. Not like that commercial that's coming on says mikasa, mikasa. I got mine, you get yours. No, we don't do that. Even today, it was built into their system to look and into their lives of to help those who are in need. You remember the parable of the Good Samaritan. As we sat on that ridge line and looking down into the valley of the shadow of death, which is also the old road, old Jericho road, where they would ascend from Jericho up into the city of Jerusalem. There was a deep path cut through those mountains, and that's how they would travel up to Jerusalem. And it was in that pathway where Jesus chose to use a parable of how this man was traveling, and he got beat up and robbed and left for dead. You know the story. The first man came by. He was a preacher. He was a priest, responsible for the spiritual well-being of the children of Israel when it was his time to do his priestly activities. Walked right on by. The second one was like that. Him. He was a Levite who was responsible for kind of for the organization and kind of the maintenance and physical wear of the building and all the things that and did the activities and all that, processed everything. Walked right on by. And here the third man came by, and he was a Samaritan. And again, we've talked about Samaritan is probably the person the Jews considered, they considered them as dogs. They didn't even really consider them real people. And he's the one that stopped and helped this man. And not only did he help him and get him to a place where he could be healed, he paid for it. And Jesus asks at the end of that, who do you think was the better, who was the neighbor? And it was the Good Samaritan. Oftentimes we ask who is our neighbor, like that this story talks about. Instead, we should be asking ourselves, am I a good neighbor? Those in my sphere of influence, whether it's people I like or don't like, those who have a need, am I doing what God has commanded me to do? And am I trying to love my neighbor as myself? It's kind of interesting when you think about that phrase, as yourself. Jesus chose those words intentionally. We clothe ourselves. We feed ourselves. We give liquid to ourselves. We drink water. We put shelter over our heads. We provide for our family because we love ourselves. And what Jesus is saying, this, yes, you must love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, all of that, but it must be demonstrated outwardly to those around us in our spheres of influence. I'm so proud of many of our folks here, Jared and Christina Scott. They had a bunch of people. I think they said they had 18 people in their home at one time. Some just came over to hang out. We had several that a family that was able to spend the night here at the church, and several came so they could get internet. But we need to be doing that personally for those who are our spheres of influence. And if we truly made the decision to follow Jesus, and we truly made the decision to make him all of that, and we're all in, then it must be demonstrated in how we treat others, those who are in need. The parable of the Good Samaritan, he ends that phrase, or ends that talking. He said, go and do likewise. Well, that's for somebody else to do. No, go and do likewise. A decision to follow Jesus is revealed in one's demonstration of that decision. Let me say that again, because I think I don't know about you, but I like to write in the corners of my Bible And this would be one I think you should contemplate over the rest of your years on earth. A decision to follow Jesus is revealed in one's demonstration of that decision. Oh, let me give you the flip side of that coin. A decision not to follow Jesus will be demonstrated in that decision. We put us first rather than God and others. Remember, if you've been with me any time in these last almost 9 years, Christianity is boiled down to this, and this is the Shema. It's about Him, and it's about them. It's not about us. And if we place God first and we put others before ourselves, the fulfillment in life, we will begin to experience greatness. The goodness and the greatness of God like never before. There's just something about putting God and others ahead of ourselves. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can his faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothes and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm, and eat well, but you don't give them what the body needs, what good is it? It's the same way he says with faith. If it doesn't have works, it's what? Dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without works and I will show you my faith from my works. Putting God first and putting others ahead of ourselves and loving our neighbors as we do ourselves, making sure that they have what they need, is what Moses was trying to tell the people. You can't outgive God, and if you'll pour yourself out, you are more like Jesus than you have ever been. To act like, walk like, talk like, and become like Jesus, the Father has priority, and so do others. I've thought about it oftentimes. If Jesus were me, or maybe some of you, and he saw the difficulties that he would face, and he did, if it were me, would I have left the right hand of the Father to help my neighbor? He said this, all the law and the prophets, all of that, all of these depend on these two. Verse number 40 says, all the law and the prophets depend on these two commands. This is another example. As we prepare to close, the band, you can start making your way back up. I want to just challenge you to decide what you're going to decide. Today, whether you're here on campus or you're joining us somewhere around the city or the nation or the world, I'm begging you today to decide for Jesus. And when that happens, it will automatically be demonstrated. It becomes, Jesus is not just a part of us, he's all of us. And if he's all of us, we will begin to act like, walk like, talk like, and become like Jesus. Jesus shared a parable. I like parables. They're godly, earthly stories with godly meanings, because the common man or the common person would be able to understand this. In Matthew chapter 21, verses 28 through 32, he says this. What do you think? A man had two sons. He went to the first and said, my son, go to the work in the vineyard today. He answered, I don't want to. That doesn't sound familiar to anybody. Yet later he changed his mind and he went. Then the man went to the other and said the same thing. He goes, sure, I'll do it. I will, sir, he answered, but he didn't go. Which of them, the two, did his father's will? The first, the man said, of the people that were around him. Jesus said to them, I assure you, tax collectors, prostitutes, are entering the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you didn't believe him. Tax collectors and prostitutes did believe him, but you, when you saw it, didn't even change your minds then and believe him. That's pretty stunning words from Jesus, even in a parable. And I believe that part of this is he's back again challenging time after time after time throughout his teachings. The Shema. Do you love me? Remember the story where he restored John on the side of the Sea of Galilee? Simon, do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. What did he say? Feed my sheep. And he was pointing off into the mountain ridge just over the way where the Gentiles lived, the undesirables. The Jewish people think they didn't have a chance. The Gentiles had no chance to enter the kingdom of God. And Jesus told Peter, feed my sheep, pointing there. He says, I assure you, tax collectors and prostitutes did believe him. When you saw it, you didn't even change your mind and believe him. So I have a couple of questions for you this morning as we close. Have you decided to give your whole existence to God through the only way, Jesus Christ, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father by me? If today were your last day on this earth and you don't even know it yet, but if it was a possibility, today was your last day on earth. Do you know where you would spend eternity? Do you know that you know that you know that you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? And what do you base that on? See, faith without works is dead. Sitting in a pew and hearing the Word of God and not responding to it and not believing it or not putting into action, what good is that? Obviously, you'll find better speakers throughout the world than you will hear. So it's not just about hearing. It's about doing. Have you decided to devote your whole existence all in for Jesus Christ? Can I just dare say that there are those probably sitting here today and those who are out on the outside, on online, who haven't. You said yes, but you quit there. You didn't continue. People look at your life, there's no demonstration of Jesus. It's always about you, or it's always about me, the selfishness. And yet Jesus was selfless. If you haven't, do you want to follow him with all your heart? A decision has to be made, and today is the acceptable day of salvation. Not tomorrow. Not later in the month. Not till I get my life right. Not till I correct the things that I know are bad in my life. All have sinned, amen? Jesus came to save the sinners, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What does it say? That's how he demonstrated his love for us. Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? It's a yes and a no answer. That's all there is. It's yes or no. You're either all in or you're not all in. And today, I really believe that God wants some of you here today and some of you online to make that decision for the very first time and say, yes, I'm all in. If you can love me and still know me and still love me and send your son Jesus Christ to give his life for me, then God, I'm all in. Through Jesus Christ, I accept who he is. I ask your forgiveness of my sins, but today I am deciding with all that I am and all that I will ever be to follow you. Shema. Shema. Hear, listen, and obey. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, in the power of your Holy Spirit, I thank you, God. I praise you, God. I extol your name, oh God, that you are here in our midst. Holy Spirit, move. God, Holy Spirit, I beg you to move in the hearts of men and women and students. And God, just move in the hearts of people who are listening online. Penetrate the hard hearts of the decisions to wait or to ignore. Reach into the depths of our heart and help us become honest with ourselves that without you, we're lost and hopeless. And Holy Spirit, I pray now that you would just reveal truth. I pray that you would open up and dissect spiritual hearts this morning. That people become honest with themselves and honest with you, that they don't know you. They know of you, but they don't know you. And if they know you, that they've only been half-heartedly following you. God, today is a change, a day of change. A day where we can begin to act like, walk like, talk like, and become like you. But it all begins with Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God. The Lord our God is one. We are to love you, God, with all our heart, soul, and mind. And that is to be demonstrated. And a result of that decision is demonstrated in how we love each other. It starts with our family. It starts with our church. But it also doesn't end there. Telling people and showing them the gospel together. So now, God, as we open up this altar, this area down front where people can come and kneel or come and stand, seek prayer, God, you would begin to move right now. If you're in your home right now, that it's a holy place because where the Spirit of God, that's holiness. Kneel right there in your home. Just cry out to him and say, God, search me, O God, and see if there be any wicked way in me. Eradicate it, God. Cleanse me with hyssop. Scrub me hard, God. Get it all off of me. Forgive me. And I thank you that your word promises us that when we and if we confess our sins, that you, O God, are faithful and just to forgive us. Cleanse us of all unrighteousness. I pray for cleansing today of the soul, the heart, the mind, that will be demonstrated when we walk out those doors in a few minutes. And I pray all of this in the mighty name of Jesus, where our salvation lies. And all of God's people said amen. And I ask you to stand. This is declared holy. I'll be standing down front. We have other elders who are here. If you see people moving, would you join them and pray for them as well? Don't wait. Wait is a no. As God is prompting your heart right now, I beg you, I beseech you, please follow what God's asking you to do. Take that step. God will accompany you.